The musical accompaniments of guitarist Pat Metheny span jazz, classical, fusion, world music, movie composition and rock. And he remains a record-breaking Grammy winner, having won more Grammy Awards in more categories than any other musician. His collaborators over the years range from legends like David Bowie and Joni Mitchell to the equally respected pianist and keyboardist Lyle Mays, as well as jazz legends like Jack Pastorius. And yet to many, Pat Metheny remains a mystery. And maybe for some, his music evokes feelings ranging from bewildered awe to dismissive annoyance. So to answer our regular Tuesday question, where do I begin with in relation to Pat Metheny, I'm joined by Jimmy Smith, a guitarist with the RTE Concert Orchestra. Before we get into his music, just enlighten me a little bit about Pat Metheny, the man. Who are we talking about, Jimmy?
Hi, Sean. Pat Metheny, he was born in Missouri in 1954. Musical family. His dad played trumpet, his mother was a singer and his brother was a trumpet player, so he taught Pat early on to play. His first instrument was trumpet, and then he had that usual American Pauline conversion after seeing the Beatles on TV on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964, where he decided to pick up guitar, and he bought a Gibson ES-14 3/4 size. And then from that he heard stuff like Four and More by Miles Davis, and then when he heard Wes Montgomery's famous, his seminal album Smoking at the Half Note, that was it for him. He became a guitar devotee, as well as a Wes Montgomery devotee.
And he became a guitar devotee, but developed a style all of his own, really, that happened during the 80s, when he really established himself at that point. How different was the style of guitar that Metheny started to display in the 80s from what had been heard previous to that, if you like?
Well, you know, it's a unique, every artist wants to develop a unique voice, and I think Pat Metheny is a little different in this regard. He's clearly a Wes Montgomery devotee, as I just said, even if their techniques differ, just not to get into too much technicality. Wes played with his thumb and was famous for his more contrapuntal octave playing, while Pat Metheny used traditional pick and fingers, rock and rolls, jazz style technique. But his approach to music, evidenced by his upbringing and subsequent soul partnership with the great Lyle Mays, the late great Lyle Mays, meant that his musical vision seemed always, to me, orchestral in nature. And from his explorations, the uniqueness of his style developed over time. It's textural, it's motivic, it's symphonic, it's sympathetic, it's highly technical and conceptually proficient. And it demonstrates a kind of a catholic understanding of all the genres he so far explored. So it's not a simple sound thing.
Yeah. Then his collaboration with Joni Mitchell. I have the In France They Kiss on the Street track here, which I'll bring up underneath this as you're talking. The guitar solo is a little bit of the way in. Tell us about that collaboration with her on the album Shadows and Light.
Well, that's one of my favourite Joni periods, and she assembled a dream band where she had Pat Metheny on guitar, Lyle Mays on piano and keyboards, the great, late great Michael Brecker on saxes, Don Elias on drums, and Jaco Pastorius on bass. So Jaco was kind of the star of the show, but that album is fantastic because Joni, it was a tour album, it's a live album, and she was promoting her latest album, but she did a kind of a greatest hits. So Joni Mitchell was famous for her very harmonically dense guitar tunings. So for Pat Metheny to play, it's a very difficult ask for a guitar player to find a place to play when that kind of harmonic density is happening. And it was fantastic what he achieved in that.
Well, let's listen to it. We'll hear a little bit of Joni first of all, and then it leads into that guitar solo. Yeah, he makes it sound very easy, doesn't he, Pat Metheny, there in that Joni Mitchell track In France They Kiss in the Street. And Jimmy Smith is with me this evening trying to answer that question of where do I begin with Pat, with the music of Pat Metheny. A touch of the trumpet in there is kind of what you were touching on earlier on as well. It almost is like a trumpet solo, that guitar solo, isn't it?
Well, that one to some degree, but it was, I find this really interesting. He had an obsession with the synclavier and MIDI guitar during the early years. And as a result of MIDI, which is an acronym for Musical Instrument Digital Interface, it's a kind of a device you can put. He literally was playing trumpet on his guitar at some points. So a lot of guitarists I know started off on other instruments, myself included. Actually, trumpet and piano I started off on. And it's kind of hard to shake off the formative influence of the early years on these instruments. You know, it's bound to inform your guitar playing later. As a fan of his, I wasn't overly fond of those MIDI years with, the, with that particular trumpet. Now, that sound there with Shadows and Light, yes, but the sound, he literally was sounding like a trumpet at one point, and I wasn't.
No, play the guitar, says you, Pat. No, don't be doing the trumpet.
Well, it's sort of, I can, and people reacted negatively, even if unfairly negatively in some cases, you know, but ultimately an artist creates his own art after all.
What about the classic Pat Metheny band then of the 1980s? You've mentioned that the name Lyle Mays a couple of times there. What was special about that group, do you think, that group of players in the band itself?
Well, I think the Travels album, which is, would be one of my favourites, and it, while I think they were the, that was the quintessential early Pat Metheny lineup because of Lyle Mays. Lyle, there was some sort of a soul chemistry going on between him and Lyle Mays where, as I mentioned earlier on, he had a very Catholic view of music, I think, Pat Metheny did, as did Lyle Mays, and where he invoked the spirit of Bill Evans and people like that, it was all very orchestral, it was very symphonic. And, you know, that album, the Travels album, I think you're referring to, was the result of them touring constantly. So they were a very tight band who had just explored all these wonderful ideas and brought them to fruition. So that's kind of quintessential Pat Metheny listening.
That's a little section of Fizz Dance. That's a live performance, in fact, from the Travels album, Pat Metheny. And it's Jimmy Smith who's speaking to us this evening about where we might begin with Pat Metheny. I was kind of surprised. I suppose I knew it once I heard it, but I don't even have to introduce this piece. I think people will recognise it immediately. Just have a listen. Certainly knew how to go all smoky and quiet, didn't he? That's Pat Metheny and the theme there from Cinema Paradiso. He co-wrote that, Jimmy Smith, with Charlie Hayden, and I think it's, Hayden is performing there as well.
No, he did. That's Ennio Morricone, and that's the theme from Cinema Paradiso. So
He performed it. Oh, sorry. Yes, I thought he had composed it. So he performed it in that particular case. That shows a very different side of his guitar playing.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that where, and I'll go back to what I was saying earlier on, that that's from the 1997 album. But earlier than that, in the 80s, he'd done the John Schlesinger movie where he'd just written, he didn't play any guitar in it hardly at all. It was synclavier with Lyle Mays, and it was more compositional. He'd done stuff with Steve Reich, he'd done the Noise albums and stuff with Derek Bailey. So he'd explored a lot of different things, and everything came back to cinematic theme, you know, kind of motivic playing. And when you listen to Map of the World and hear him doing, paying tribute to Ennio Morricone, it all makes perfect sense. It's not jazz and it's not rock, it's not anything. It's more just cinematic music, you know.
Yeah, and 20 Grammy Awards over his career, 12 categories in total, and among them the track that we just heard, he himself and Hayden won that for Best Acoustic Jazz Performers. People are disparaging about him. Some people are disparaging about him. Why do you think that is? What is their problem?
Well,
I'm asking the wrong man, am I?
You know, I don't know why they would be. Maybe his Catholic approach to music offends them. I know that Lyle Mays was to purists and critics are very unforgiving. They're a very unforgiving lot, so they found him a very divisive figure. But if artists listened to them too closely, sure, there'd never be any interest in music created at all. So Pat Metheny's constant explorations of genres other than strictly jazz may have upset purists, maybe. And in all honesty, his trio albums are probably what I would listen to most, and they're very traditional. Yeah, you know, maybe his sound explorations, his willingness to be spontaneous. I saw him many times, but notably at the Albert Hall in 2006 with Lyle Mays, Antonio Sanchez, Richard Bona, fantastic band, just incredible. And in the middle, he did an improv, which was part of his thing. It was literally a free form. They'd make something up on the spot, like Keith Jarrett did, and it was an amazing thing. But with the advent of iPhones and filming everything and the non-contextual type of ubiquitous Pat Metheny fail mentality, where people would get a 5-second clip, he stopped doing that, which is a great shame, in my opinion.
We'll finish up with Road to the Sun. This is him in another mode, very much the classical side of his sound here, Jimmy.
Yeah, more of it, yes. I think so. And I'm looking forward to all of the new album.
So where would you start? Would you put us back to Joni Mitchell and work our way forward from there?
It depends on where you're coming from. It's the Irish thing. I wouldn't start from here. But if it's somebody, if David Bowie gets you into him, or if it's Joni Mitchell, fine. But I would start with Travels from 1983. But depending on where you're coming from.
All right. Well, let's finish up with Road to the Sun Part 2, current album released March 2021. And a little bit there of Pat Metheny, Road to the Sun, an album released in March 2021. And it was Jimmy Smith who was answering that question for us this evening. Where do I begin with Pat Metheny? That is our lot for this Tuesday evening. Leah Murphy and Paula Shields researched. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Mark Dwyer was on sound this evening. And tonight's programme was produced by Keishi. Talk to you tomorrow night once again, 7 o'clock here on RTE Radio 1.